And of course, next Sunday we celebrate Easter and praise the Lord for the resurrection, and that will be our truth next week. For Sunday morning, it'll be resurrection truth, as this morning was redemption truth, and a little bit out of the outline, because of the holiday and certainly truth that we need to know everything we possibly can about. We, of course, are in a theme of for such a time as this, and March is a time for truth. And we've had a record of truth, reality of truth, receiving truth, respect for truth, responsibility with truth. And then this morning, redemption truth. Tonight and Wednesday, we'll talk about reporting truth. Reporting truth. And we are in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. While you're turning there, I want to mention the ministries of Berean Baptist Church. And I think of our shepherd's ministry, and I think of all the great things that happens with our shepherd's ministry. I don't know of a ministry like it in so many churches. There are large, large churches that have shepherds-type ministries, but I don't know of any quite like ours, especially our church size and just the time, the effort, everything that goes into the shepherd's ministry. It is a wonderful blessing. Of course, the Easter dinner coming up, just such always a blessing, always an enjoyable time with the shepherd's ministry. I was thinking of our bus ministry and reaching out to hundreds of folks over the years, and really thousands of people over the years with the bus ministry, just going out trying to bring people into church. I cannot think of anything more loving than a bus ministry. Honestly, I don't know of anything. Folks that go visit those routes, the Baileys, all these years, many, many years, and just going out and bringing folks in, you know, bringing them in to church, bringing them in for the services, bringing them in to the activities of the church, not just bus kids, but shepherds as well, and adults as well. And I think of Vacation Bible School, and hours and hours and hours. Last year, right around 140, 150 people that were workers in Vacation Bibles. Well, this is not a large church, and yet all those folks dedicated every evening of the time, some at Shepherd's Bible School as well as the Children's Vacation Bible School, literally hours and hours go into that, lots and lots of money in all these ministries. Bus ministry alone, $20,000, $19,000 the budget, and then more comes in, and because of people giving. And just thousands of dollars and time and effort. And then there's soul winning and just going out knocking on doors. I don't know of anything more loving than soul winning. Yesterday, got into a tough area and had some kind of negative responses to the soul winning. But still, very, very important, very, very needed. And all the money, all the effort, and all that goes into it, junior churches, nursery, all the things, activities like yesterday, and just fellowship time, and all of that, just all that is involved and the help it is to so many people. I cannot think of anything, though, more important than the fact that we give out the truth. Amen. There is nothing more important going on. All these things go on, but the only reason that they need to go on is because we give out the truth. There's no reason to have a junior church if we're not giving the truth out. No reason to have Sunday school and all the grades of Sunday school that we have unless, of course, we're giving out the truth. I think of the prison ministry, and I don't know of any church our size that has as large of a prison ministry and is preaching and reaching as many inmates as Berean Baptist Church. But again, there's no reason to have it if we're not giving those people who are incarcerated the truth. I don't know of anything more loving than that, really, going to a prison and preaching to people. Some people that we preach to, they're never going to get out of prison. Some of them are there for life. And so it's not like they're going to come and sit in a pew and work, be workers in the church and put money in the place. It has nothing to do with it. But again, it's a wonderful thing, a commendable ministry of our church, but absolutely worthless if we're not giving out the truth. We must preach truth. Reporting truth is the title, and I'll deal with that tonight and Wednesday. But tonight, mainly, I want to give you these two words: preach truth. There is no reason to ever open our doors if we don't preach truth. No reason to have the name church on our sign. And we had a wonderful little skit Some girls did last night on the scavenger hunt out by the sign. I'm not real sure why they were out by the sign, but because I couldn't totally understand the whole thing, but it was hilarious just because they were hilarious. And but anyway, you know, the name Berean Baptist Church. If we're not going to preach truth, just call it some Mickey Mouse Club or something. I mean, there is no reason to have a church unless you're going to preach truth. No reason to have the shepherd's ministry unless we bring those shepherds into a room and preach the truth to them. No reason to have Vacation Bible School. No reason to have all these ministries, though they're wonderful ministries. And people sacrifice and put hours and hours and lots of money into it. But no reason if we're not going to tell the truth. There is absolutely no reason to do any of this. No reason to ever have a service if we're not going to tell the truth. If we're not going to tell the truth, if we're not going to preach the truth, then let's just close the doors. Let's not run a bus. Why would you run buses if you're not going to bring them in to hear something that's going to change their life? Why would you go into all the areas and knock on doors and go soul winning and go to knock on somebody's door and take the chance of somebody calling you some terrible, terrible name? And if you don't have something to tell them that is the truth, amen. There's no reason. There is no reason. We need to preach truth. We do not need more preachers. We need more that preach truth. We do not need more preaching. We need more truth preaching. Truth has become rare in preaching. Truth has become rare, sad to say, in preaching of churches. Again, before Jesus was crucified, Pilate asked the question, "What is truth?" And people today, in the midst of all the confusion of the charismatics and the cults and the pseudo-Christians, honestly, I think there are many that would like to know, what is truth? What is truth? If the Bible is not true, then what is? If we don't have the truth, then where is the truth? What is truth? Churches that used to preach truth today avoid truth. If there is truth, surely God would make it available to us. What kind of a God wouldn't give us the truth? Well, he did make it available. And Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word." This is it right here. Thy word is true. This book right here is what we need to keep preaching. This is what every Sunday school class we have to keep teaching. This is what every junior church needs. This is why we run buses. This is why we have the shepherd's ministry. This is why we have a teen ministry. Right here, this book, Truth. Folks, do not lose sight of why we're doing what we do. We have the truth. We must preach truth. Again, we're talking about reporting truth, and the first thing is preach truth. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. That sounds, you know, that's like a cliche among independent Baptists. Oh, yeah, of course we're going to do that. But I'm telling you, folks, a lot of people are not preaching truth anymore. They're not preaching the word anymore. They're getting involved in all the different stuff. And there's more junk out there now. I remember taking a cults class when I was in Bible college back in the late 70s. And I took a cults class. And the teacher gave us a printout. Maybe it was a mimeograph back then. No. But it was a printout of all the different cults in America. And I mean, it was unbelievable. List after list after list. And all the different cults in America. I can't even imagine what it'd be like today. Not just cults, but just the all the different movements, all the different ideas, all the different, just a little bit off. You know, this thing called the emergent church, and I'm not going to get into all that, but, you know, hey, boy, we're taking America by storm. You are taking. You're taking many good, godly people out of church and totally messing them up because they stepped out of truth, and as you step out of truth, you step into error. And I don't care how severe the error is a downhill, always. And error ends in the mud. Error ends in the quicksand. Error is no good. And God had to tell through the Apostle Paul, had to make sure Timothy, hey, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach truth. Don't move from it. Don't leave it. If you're going to preach, preach truth. If you're not going to preach truth, then shut the door. Be honest. Shut the doors. Turn it into a dance hall. If you're not going to preach the truth, then just close the doors. Preach the word. Amen. Why? Because that's what the drunkard needs. That's what the drug addict needs. That's what the harlot needs. That's what the liar needs. That's what the thief needs. That's what the homosexual needs. That's what the murderer needs. That's what the gossip needs. That's what the backslider needs. That's what everybody needs. Everybody needs the truth. The little babies in the nursery, they need to grow up hearing the truth. The bus kids need to hear the truth. Hey, you say, we should be a lot kinder and gentler and all. No, listen to me. Sometimes the truth is tough. Sometimes the truth is difficult. Sometimes it's, sometimes you have to say, shh, shh. People need to hear the truth. Shh, listen, quit talking, listen. Why? Because there's truth going out. And somebody sitting there needs the truth. I've told you the story many, many times about the 18-year-old girl sitting right over here on a, not in this church, but in Burn, Indiana, years and years ago, sitting right over here with some of her friends. And a couple of kids from the church, they were kind of cutting up and goofing off, and she kept watching them. And I'll never forget, I gave the invitation, and she raised her hand that she needed to be saved, but she never got saved. And that week, she took a shotgun and stuck the barrel of that shotgun in her mouth and pulled the trigger and blew her brains all over the walls of the house. Listen to me. Listen to me. People need to hear the truth. And they come, and they're in a place where they can hear the truth. You have no right to disturb them ever, anytime. Never. Had a person came to church here and not that long ago and said, well, one of the reasons I left is because everybody I sat behind, they talked the whole time during the service. Moms with daughters, daughters with moms, dads with sons, the whole bit. And she said, I kind of got tired of that. You say, oh, but preacher, we shouldn't, you don't offend anybody. Listen to me, I'm just telling you the truth. People need to hear the truth. They come to hear the truth. They don't come to see you texting. They don't come to see you watching your phone. They don't come to see what you got. Hey, you want to talk to somebody? Go out there and talk to them. Let folks hear the truth. And the same thing in Sunday school. Same thing in junior church. Anytime you sit, listen to the truth, because truth is being preached. The greatest thing that goes on at Berean Baptist Church is the truth is being preached. Truth is being taught, and it is what people need. It's what bus kids need, and teenagers need, and newlyweds need, and college students need, and parents need, and the elderly need. Everybody needs the truth. Turn to 1 Kings 22, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 22, and here's a preacher that preached the truth. It's a great story, and it illustrates exactly what I'm talking about in our day. 1 Kings 22 and verse 14 talks about Micaiah. And he says this, Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Now folks, here's what the Lord said unto us right here. That's what we need to speak. Amen. This book right here. This, the Word of God. This is what we must preach. It is the truth. Now, Micaiah had a problem, and he had an issue. And we're going to talk about that tonight, and we're going to go through that just real quick. In verse 1 of 1 Kings 22, they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. The king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. He said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. By the way, that wasn't true. That was an unholy union. Jehoshaphat was a pretty good guy. Ahab was a heathen. And Jehoshaphat had no business going and yoking up with Ahab, just like we have no business yoking up with the world for anything. No business. We don't need to be in crusades with the world. We may agree with them on some things. We may be for some of the things they're for, but we don't have to yoke up. We're yoked with him. That is enough, believe me. And we don't have to be like the world. We don't have to be like the world to reach the world. We need to be different than the world, be a peculiar people like God said. And here's Jehoshaphat. Well, you know, we ought to get together here, Ahab, and I am as thou art, and all this. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And so Jehoshaphat said, you know, let's find out what God says about it. Let's get a preacher. Let's find out the truth. Now again, Jehoshaphat shouldn't join with Ahab. Ahab was a heathen, no question about that. And that has already been established. But you know, what does the Lord say? What should we do? There's people come in here all the time. I need to find out what God says. I need to find out. Sometimes they'll come right into my office. Hey, I need counsel. What do you think God says about this? What does the Bible say about this? And by the way, we ought to be able to give an answer of what the Bible says about anything, because the Bible talks about everything. If somebody comes in and talks to you about suicide, you ought to be able to tell them, what does the Bible say about that? Somebody comes in and says, hey, I want to know if I'm going to heaven. Good night. Of all things, we ought to be able to tell people how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. And I'm talking about know for sure they're going to heaven, not, well, I hope so. And if you don't know for sure, you're going to have a hard time telling somebody else how to know for sure. Amen. But we have it. We have the truth. Right here it is. We have tracts printed all over the place. And you can get tracts and you can hand them out all over. Because, again, we have plenty of the truth out there for people to listen to. What's the Lord say? What does the Lord have to say about this? You know, I want to know. Jehoshaphat said, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. They had 400 prophets that were going to tell. Verse 6, king of Israel gathered the prophets together. This was his ministerial association. About 400 men. Even back then, they knew that it was supposed to be a man. Anyway, let's move on. And said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. All 400 of them. They said, do it. Go do it. Join together. Yoke up together. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You'll always find somebody to agree with your sin. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter. I guarantee no matter what it is, if I wanted to do it and it was sinful, I promise you I could find somebody that would agree with me. In fact, I could find a group and we could start a movement. Doing it all the time. Listen to me. I ask you, do you want the truth or do you just want to feel good? Do you want the truth or do you just want to do what you want to do? Because you'll always find somebody that'll go along with whatever you want. There's always somebody out there. There's probably a movement out there already. You wouldn't have to start your own. No matter what you want to do, no matter what you want to believe, there's always somebody that will go along. Here's 400 of them that are giving very, very bad advice. By the way, you don't see anything here, any idea, any indication of anyone seeking the word of God. Anyone seeking the will of God on their knees in prayer. No idea. Now, Jehoshaphat's a little nervous about that. Verse 7, Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? He wondered, how could all four, these guys can't all agree. Surely not. Isn't there somebody? I mean, even Jehoshaphat knew. He knew something was wrong. What do you think? And so we come to a man of God who preached the truth. Ahab, who, by the way, is a wicked, vile king. He is not a man that walks after God's own heart. He is not a man who wants the will of God. Ahab wants his own way. And Ahab, in verse 8, describes Micaiah. He describes this man of God, the king of Israel. So Jehoshaphat, again, he's a little leery about these 400 men of God. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. I hate him. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If Ahab says I hate him, I got to like him. Because Ahab's a bad guy. Ahab has proven himself. You would not have to look long at Ahab's Facebook page to know where Ahab's coming from. It'd slap you right upside the head and you'd say, oh, I can't believe Ahab has gone that far. I just can't even imagine Ahab believes all this junk. Wow. But here's what Ahab said. He said, I hate this man of God. You can call on him, but I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. He sounds very mature. Notice the reason why he hates him. Watch it. Look at it. Underline it. Put a star beside it. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Oh, are you saying he tells the truth? Is that what you're saying? I don't like it! He tells bad things about me, evil. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Oh, yes. That's his reason. I hate him. When he preaches, he makes me so mad. He doesn't say anything good about me at all. It's always evil. Now, I'll be honest. I sat in church as a long-haired hippie with my hippie wife in her miniskirt. And we sat, and the preacher preached on all our sins. Yelled, screamed, hollered. The vein in his head, you could tell his heart rate by counting the as he was screaming and hollering and yelling and spitting and snorting and stomping. And it didn't bother him to preach about long hair, and I was sitting right there. Some of you folk drive me absolutely. Man, you're going to run them off. I wanted to run off, Brother Letson. I'm serious. I mean, that preacher, good night. How could he talk about such a thing as my long hair? And then he'd talk about my wife's miniskirt. And I'll have to admit, I'd look down and I'd think, I kind of like that. We were married. And we still are. And he's screaming and hollering about all this. I mean, he used terminology like Bible words. Now, I could have said, I hate him. All he talks about is bad. But somewhere along the line, it hit me. I am bad. I need to be told I'm bad so I can become good. I need to find out, you know, because the truth, you shine truth's light on anything, and all of a sudden it shows you what needs to be fixed. That's so good. Number one, preach truth to all the people. Preach truth to all the people. Doesn't matter who they are. Preach truth to all the people. The king was not pleased with the message. Preach truth. King gets mad, doesn't matter. Who cares? Just preach the truth. You know, people get mad, doesn't matter. Preach the truth. Deacons get mad, doesn't matter. You just preach the truth. City gets mad, doesn't matter. Just preach the truth. Government gets mad, doesn't matter. Just preach the truth. You get a drone flying around your area, doesn't matter. Just preach the truth. You find out they got a flag on your file, huh? You know, this guy's preaching a lot of weird stuff. You know, this guy's preaching a lot of hate. And doesn't matter. What are you going to do? I'm going to preach the truth. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Honestly, so many of the issues of this day are over this very thing. Do we preach the truth or not? Well, you're going to get the Muslims upset, but I'm going to preach the truth. If you're not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to burn in hell forever. That is the truth. What are you going to do? Well, I don't want to make them mad. You know, they'll put me on a list. You think you might already be on the list. Preacher, they might be listening to you. Listen to me. If they are listening to me, I'm going to preach the truth. Okay, I love them enough to tell them the truth. I love a Catholic enough to tell them the truth. And I love a Baptist enough to tell them the truth. How about you? Do we love them enough? Can we go to the jail and preach to those men? Hey, you're a sinner. You offended me. You're in jail. Every now and then, one of our, you know, we'll hear about one of our preachers. Well, he kind of offended some people. What did he preach? Well, he preached about sin. Uh-oh, perish the thought. Preach truth. You know, everybody gets mad. You just preach the truth. That's what we have to do. You know, we are in a day. I mean, come on. John the Baptist preached and had his head cut off. Why? He made somebody mad. That's exactly what happens too. And that's what's happening in America because, to be honest with you, you know, and the older I get, the older a preacher gets, honestly, you want everybody to love you. You're starting to get old and you want people to love you. Honestly, do you understand what I'm saying? I want you to love me. But you do, and you don't want to ruffle feathers. And you want lots of money coming in. You say, well, so what do you do about it? Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep preaching the truth. That's what I'm going to do about it. I mean, honestly, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what God said to do. Look at 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. I'm going to encourage you. I'm on the bottom of the front page. So we are moving real fast. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. I hope you get this tonight, honestly, all of us. For the love of money is the root of all evil. By the way, that's always a temptation to back off on the truth. Always. Always, 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 always. Okay? If we start WBBA radio station, better yet, WBBA television. Hello out there, guys and girls. For Jesus' sake, we're here. And we start a radio station. Do you understand? With a TV station, honestly, it takes lots and lots of money. Lots and lots and lots of money. Millionaires and people giving like crazy. I mean, lots and lots and lots of money. And all of a sudden, Brother Tim comes as Brother Rogers says, you know, we're having a little trouble here meeting the budget of the TV station. And, you know, a couple of our millionaires were a little bit upset. Some of the oil millionaires that were sending in millions of dollars, they're a little upset about that message you preached about Muslims. You know, you said they had to be saved. Well, Brother Tim, that's the message. It is the truth. Yeah, but you know, what about the, you know, we got to meet our budget. I'm going to tell you, that pressure is big pressure. You can sit out there, go get them, preacher, amen, hallelujah, go yes, oh, hallelujah. But you don't have to tell somebody they got laid off. You aren't the one that has to deal with all the aftermath of that, which, by the way, should never be any. But you see, what it says is, it says the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred. When you start coveting after money, you err from the faith. What happens? And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after, what is it? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You say, see, you need to be more loving. Oh, did you see the next word? Fight! I love you. Fight the good fight of faith. And it is a fight. Our fight is not with flesh. Our fight is with the devil. How do you fight the devil? Truth. Truth. Amen. Preach. Preach all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Preach. You know, church after church after church in America did not hear that this morning, not one time. Not one time. Did they hear it this morning? Not one time have they heard it in 2013. I'm talking about church after church after church. They're not hearing all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They're not hearing that Jesus Christ became a curse. Because if you talk about Jesus being a curse, we have to deal with why. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, do you have to? That's the truth. That is the truth. Hell is hot. Hell is eternal. Hell is screaming. Hell is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And hell is real. It is not imagination. It's certainly not here on this earth. It is a place where the lost go unless they get saved. And you must be born again. That's truth. Somebody says, and they say it all the time, that's your opinion. That's what they said about Micaiah. 400 said, oh, it's okay, let's go. He's going to say, no, it's not, because it's not the truth. Preach. Preach truth. Preach that you must be born again. Preach that there is a local church, and that is the church. Preach about being baptized. Preach about soul winning. Preach about separation. You know, it's also, well, Pastor, you know, we want you to stand on things like abortion. We want you to stand against homosexuality. And we want you to stand on all these kind of things. But boy, just let us bring out the S word of separation. It's like, you're like the folks in Bern, Indiana. I'll never forget the Mennonites, a couple of them. Every time they would go on vacation, they went to Baptist churches. Independent, fundamental Baptist churches. And I'm still thinking of this one guy, this one man. And he would always tell me, we came in and started an independent, fundamental Baptist church in his town. And he said, yeah, you know, we go out. He said, you know, so-and-so named a preacher. Yeah, I know him. He's in the Sword of the Lord. Oh, yeah, we go to his church all the time. I said, boy, this is great. I said, I guess now that we're here, I guess you'll start coming to our church. He looked at me, he said, we're 100% behind you. I found out he was 100% way behind me. Like, where are you? Yeah. That's it. Amen. I hate to leave all this. This is good stuff. Preach truth to all people. All people. Everyone. They go get Micaiah. And notice what happens. I love this. It says, verse 9, the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. They're having a preaching service. They really are. Here's the right reverend, right here. Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, made him horns of iron. He said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. Now, boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? That'd sell. I mean, he made horns of iron. He illustrated, too. Probably did a PowerPoint. Amen? Right after they followed the bouncing ball. I mean, seriously, he's saying some good stuff here. I only have one problem with what he said. You want to know what it is? It wasn't true. It wasn't from God. That's my problem. He said what was popular. He said what would get everybody riled up and excited, but it wasn't true. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. Wrong. Ahab's going to die. Do you understand? Ahab's going to die in this battle. Verse 13. Let me stop here. Well, the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Here's what he says to the man of God. He says, now listen, bub. Reverend bub. Everybody's in agreement. Okay? He's saying, man of God, do this. All right? I'm going to have to stop sometime because I can't keep doing this. But he said, just practice. Could you practice shaking your head? Yes. Anyway. And man of God, listen to me. He said, everybody is in agreement here. Okay? The words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. They are holding hands singing kumbaya. All right? Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them and speak that which is good. Be good, man of God. Don't say anything that's going to upset anyone. You ought to read my mail. Anyway, and Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Number two, truth, preaching truth, is not always popular. Just say something good, whether it's true or not. Just say something good. Did you know that a stopped clock is right twice a day? You want to trust in it? Kool-Aid plus just a little bit of poison. You want to trust that? And the devil, the Bible says, is transformed into an angel of light. You want to trust him? Well, no, wait, an angel of light, doesn't that sound like something good? It does to me. But I'm not going to trust the devil for nothing. Look at it, 2 Corinthians 11. I wrote down another verse here. I'm curious what it says. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Oh, how could we leave out verse 15? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Hey, whose ministers are those? Oh, that's Satan's ministers. And they're transformed into looking like ministers of righteousness. Huh. Oh, they're fine, fine, upstanding people. They're Satan's ministers. Who do they serve? They serve Satan. Why would you? Well, now, we're not to judge. No, now. But the Bible says the spiritual man judges all things based on this right here. If we're not supposed to judge, how do we know if we're supposed to drive down that certain road? How do we know if we're supposed to drink that certain drink? How do we know we're supposed to eat that certain food? I mean, there are lots of things that we do judge. Try the spirits. Try the spirits. I wonder what that means. Could that possibly mean put them on trial? Well, if I put spirits on trial, would I not judge them? Brother Korea, is that what I would do? If I'm going to put them on trial, somebody's got to judge them. The spirits, right? Try the spirits, whether they are of God. What do I judge them by? There's only one thing I know of that's the truth from God, and that's the Word of God. So I can judge things by this book. Judge not that ye be not judged. Well, I'm willing to be judged by this book. You can judge me by this book. Go ahead. It's all right with me. I already know I'm a sinner. I already know I have to be saved. I know that. But I want you to take any time to search the Scriptures daily. Take the message, search the Scriptures daily to see that it's so. I hope you do. I've said that from day one. I want you to do that. Preaching truth is not always popular, folks. It really isn't. We cannot make deals with God's word. Okay, so you have 400 versus 1, but 1's telling the truth. 400 versus 1, but the 1 is telling the truth. I have to remind you that with God, we're always in the majority. And as long as you stick to the truth, you're with God. Many will do what this man did to Micaiah. They will suggest what you preach. You better stick with truth. Sunday school teachers need to stick with the truth. Somebody says, "Well, don't you want to get along?" No, I want to please God more than anything else. I really want to please God. I told you, the older I get, the more I want to be loved. I'm serious. I mean that with all my heart. You say, "You're awful cantankerous." No, I'm really not. I can love. I preach hard, but I can love hard too. But the fact is, sometimes the truth is just, preaching truth isn't popular. It's not going to be popular. It's not going to be popular in a community. It's not going to be popular, but it's the truth. It is the truth. I mean, especially today. I mean, the abortion issue alone. We stand, it is murder. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality and other sexual perversions that are going on day in, day out in America. I'm amazed he doesn't destroy America. Yeah, I agree. Now, Micaiah went on, and he told them they would lose. He kind of messed with them a little bit. I don't have time to get into all of it, but he told them, okay, you're going to lose this battle. All the time, I hear these kinds of, well, if you do this or you do that, you'll keep everybody here. I am not interested in keeping everybody here. I am interested in telling the ones who are here the truth. And it's always been that way. We started with 32 people in a storefront building in a basement of a library and had no idea if we'd ever have any more than that, had no idea if those 32 would ever stay. But it was never about, well, we're gonna change some things here as far as what is preached. It's never even been an issue. It's never been considered to change preaching the truth. You cannot compromise the truth. And I will not compromise the truth. In verse 21, there came forth, and so anyway, they get into this discussion. And now Micaiah, you know, he's saying, there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. He said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. And very, very clearly, Micaiah says, you know what? You guys are lying to the king. You need to tell the truth. Verse 24, Zedekiah, that's our hero a while ago that made the iron horns. Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? He didn't like it. And by the way, false prophets hate it when you tell people preach the truth and when you tell people listen to the truth. The truth is all that can help you. It is not always popular. Number three, preaching truth leads to persecution. Look what happens to Micaiah, verse 25. Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. The king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow into prison. Feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Truth, preaching truth leads to persecution. Jeremiah went to prison because he preached the truth. John the Baptist had his head chopped off because he preached the truth. Jesus was crucified. Yes, I know he became the curse for us, but he also preached the truth. Paul was beaten, jailed, and killed because he preached the truth. Peter, the same thing. John was boiled in oil and cast onto the Isle of Patmos because he preached the truth. Huss, Wycliffe, Luther, men today preach the truth, and there is persecution. People in other countries are preaching the truth, and they are suffering greatly. You say, I don't want discomfort. I don't want to have that problem. I want everybody to love me, and I don't want to be persecuted. But it's all about the truth. It's all about preaching truth. And the last thing, number four, preaching truth is the solution to the problem. Questions asked, should we come together and go fight at Ramoth-Gilead or not? Do we come together? Do we go fight this battle or not? We want the truth. 400 said, go. The battle is yours. It's going to be a great battle. You're going to do wonderful. What a blessing it will be. One man said, this is not the will of God. And you will die. The solution to the problem, truth. And Ahab was killed in the battle. Your problem tonight, you want the answer, you need the truth. The truth is the only thing that is going to take care of your problem. It is the only solution. I don't care what everybody tells you. I don't care all, you know, well, this will make me popular. This will get me lots of money. This will do this and that. But what is the truth? That's all that used to matter. That's what used to matter. All of a sudden, though, things have changed, haven't they? Well, you know, I want to be a evolving Christian. I want to be an emerging Christian. You used to just want the truth. You used to have no problem at all coming to an old-fashioned altar and kneeling when you got slapped upside the head with the truth. But now I don't want to hear about any of my bad stuff. I don't want to hear what I'm doing wrong. I don't want to hear that my way may not be the right way. I don't want to hear all that stuff. And so I'm going to go somewhere where I get stroked. And as long as I'm getting stroked, I'm happy. But there's only one problem with that. Ahab, you're going to die. and you had 400 prophets stroke you, and then an arrow found you. And had you listened to the truth, you'd have solved your problem. Hey, listen to me. Do you want the answer to your problems? Do you want the truth? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Maybe you're here tonight without Jesus Christ. You're lost. You need to be saved. The truth is, you are condemned already, John said, John 3, verse 18. You're already condemned. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin. You can be saved. That is the truth. And he will save you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, you know, let me ask you a question about you know, good people. What? Think about all the good people that tell a lost person that just do good, you'll be all right. I have a question. Is that a good person? If Daryl White is not saved and he comes to me and I just say, Daryl, just do good, am I a good person? No, because he's going to die and go to hell. Now, I made him feel good for the moment. He's going to burn in hell. Yeah. A lot of good people, they'll tell a lost person, well, just be sincere. Hear it all the time. That's big, cute little words today. Just be sincere. As long as you're sincere, everything's all right. Can you go to heaven for being sincere? That's not what my Bible says. What about the truth? Jesus said, I am the way. A lot of people today, and it's very popular in religion to just not even talk about hell. Well, there's no hell. Don't worry about hell. You don't have to worry about it. God's a God of love. That'll make a person feel real good for a while, right? Especially somebody under conviction. But I have to question if a person's not willing to tell the truth and they'll let somebody go to hell. And then, huge. Well, just be religious. All you have to do is be religious. Go to church every now and then. Show up. Talk to God every once in a while. You'll be all right. And people are going to hell by droves under that belief right there. And anybody that would tell them that, I'm sorry, I don't think they're very good. Why? Because it's not the truth. Now maybe they don't know the truth. Then they ought to get out from behind a pulpit. If you're telling people that, then you ought not ever be anywhere in any kind of position teaching anybody anything about God until you're willing to tell them the truth. Preach truth. Truth of salvation, the truth of service, the truth of separation, the truth of soul winning, the truth of a spiritual walk, the truth of the second coming, preaching out against sin and for righteousness. Man needs to hear the truth. And we have it. Now, what are we going to do with it? There was a day, I venture to say, everybody in this room would say, hallelujah, amen, that's right, preacher, that's right, I'm with you, amen. But you know what's sad? There's so many today, right on that line. And every other day, it's like this. Here's the line, here's truth, and every once in a while, it's, oh, you're my friend. No, they're not. That's not a friend who pulls you into error. Amen. It's a friend who tells the truth. Amen. That's the friend. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. I thought I'd just let you know, I'm going to keep preaching the truth. Just going to keep preaching the truth.